Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, I just thank you so much for the work that you do and for this cool weather you've been giving us. It's not hot, it's not cold, it's really nice. I thank you so much for it. And Lord, I thank you for the work that you continue to do. And Lord, as right now, my heart goes out for those place of worship in back east as devastation happened. Lord, be with those families, protect them in that were in that synagogue, Lord. It breaks my heart that people would do that. But Lord, you are our hope, you are our refuge, you are who we rely on for guidance as we go through tough times and good times. You are always there to comfort us and to hear our prayers and our thoughts, and we thank you. Lord, I pray for this day as we worship you in fellowship, in message, and song, and I just thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is an awesome place. And we got people with a sense of humor around here. So, as I reach for my sermon notes down here, and somebody likes to have fun with it, they put it in a scroll for me, which is appropriate for today's message. So let me take the seal off the scroll. All right. Oh, I'm going to have fun with this. People take all day on Sundays some days, but I think it's more than preaching, though, so. All right. Well, so if you have your Bibles, go to Galatians. We're going to be talking about faith and the law. So while you're turning there, I got a few stories I want to read to you that I found. All right. A rabbi, a priest, and a preacher meet every Monday in a coffee shop to talk things over about their spiritual life. One day, the priest makes a bet with the other guys that he could convert a bear in the woods over to his religion. The others nod and say, "Yeah, I'll bet we could do that quicker than you could." So they all agreed, and the next time they meet, they'll share stories about what they were able to convert the bear. They all ended up in the hospital. But the priest is in the best shape of them all. They decided to meet in the rabbi's room. The priest had his arms in a sling and says, "Yeah, it was tough at first, but I was able to dash it with some holy water. The next thing I knew, I started singing Hail Mary. He's coming to Sunday Mass." The other two clergymen nodded in approval. The preacher goes next. The preacher's in pretty bad shape. He's in a wheelchair, and he has a concussion, a broken leg, and a broken arm. He says, "Well, when I finally happened upon it, I wrestled that thing to the ground and started beating it its head with a Bible. So he lunges at me, and we tumble down a hill into the river where I dunked him 7 times. Finally, he said he came to faith. He'll be coming to church next Sunday." Both men turn to the rabbi to hear his story. The rabbi looks like he got the worst of it. He's in a body cast, and there's no way he's getting out of bed anytime soon. He looks at both men and says, "Well, probably should have started with something different other than circumcision." Allow me two more, if that's okay. These are shorter. All right. There was a very gracious lady who was mailing an old family Bible to her brother in another part of the country. "Is there anything breakable in here?" asked the postal clerk. "Only the Ten Commandments," the lady answered. Yes, that deserves a pity laugh. All right. A minister parked his car in a no parking zone in a large city because it was short on time and he couldn't find space with a meter. Then he put a note under his windshield wiper that read, "I have circled the block 10 times. If I don't park here, I'll miss my appointment. Forgive us our trespasses." When he returned, he found a citation from the police officer along with this note. I have circled the block for 10 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation. All right. Oh, it's been a great week. Okay, so the law. We're looking at the law today, and that's what Paul is going to talk about, faith in the law. So Galatians 3, 10 through 14 we're going to look at today. And it says, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who was hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So at this point in Paul's letter, he's basically throwing everything at him that he has. He's telling it like it is. See, he makes that first statement, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. And that's a key word through this passage is curse and faith in this passage. But he doesn't stop there. He backs it up with Scripture. He goes all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. He quotes 27:26. And said, cursed be anyone who's not confirmed the words of the law by abiding in them, and all the people shall say amen. You see, when God gave the law to these people, they affirmed it. They said, yes, we will do it. They gave it an amen. You see, the wonderful thing about Paul is he's quoting Scripture to explain his point. He's using the book of the law to explain the works and the saving grace of Jesus is what he's doing. See, he's backing up his point with Scripture is what he's doing. And what was the Scripture at the time? It was what we call the Old Testament. That's all they had, was just the Old Testament. It wasn't complete till about 400 AD, the entire Scriptures. See, Paul quoted this passage because if the people think they needed to keep the law, they need to keep the entirety of the law, not just pick and choose. Picking and choosing is so much more funner. If they think they only need to keep the food law, they're sadly mistaken. They need to keep the dress law. The males would have to be circumcised, and they would need to keep every single Sabbath ceremonial law. Every single one of them. Now, this passage in Deuteronomy, that people cannot pick and choose which part of the law to follow. If they think they need to keep it, they are relying on the law of works for salvation. And that was the thing. If you've read through the law, through the first five books, you'll notice that the people agree to it. They're like, yes, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. They all said amen. And then this brings Paul to his next point. He informs his readers that one is not justified and made righteous before God by keeping the law. He tells the people in Galatia there's evidence found in Habakkuk. It says, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not right within him. But the righteous shall live by faith. It must be by faith. It has always been by faith, even before the law. MacArthur best states it. He says, the ways of Law and faith are mutually exclusive. To live by the law is to live self-effort and leads to inevitable failure, condemnation, and death. To live by faith is a response to God's grace and leads to justification and eternal life. Now, I put with Christ in there because when we do leave this earth, we will live forever. We will have a body that will either enjoy paradise with Christ or a body that will withstand torture for eternity. Now, as we look, last week we saw that Abraham was made righteous before the law and before the law of circumcision. God declared him righteous. Now, I have found seven reasons why God gave the law to the Israelites. And the first one is in Leviticus 19:2. It says, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy.'" God reveals his holy character to Israel. And then Exodus 19:5 for number two. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all people, for all the earth is mine." See, God is setting them, his people, apart from the rest of the nations. He's making them distinguished. Galatians 3:19. "Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions." And that was just the first part of 3:19. See, the law reveals how sinful man is. Then number four, Leviticus chapters 1 through 7, and I'm not going to read them all. If you would like to, please do. It reveals that the sacrifice and offerings provided forgiveness, not salvation, for the people of Israel. Leviticus 23 tells us that the law provides a way of worship through the Israelite community. It gives them structure for worship. And then Exodus 21 through 23, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 19, and Psalms 19, 97 through 104 tells us that God provided instructions on the physical health and spiritual health for the people, gave them a way to live. And I think all those are in your notes, too. If they're not, let me know. They are. And then, yeah, look them up. They're awesome. After Christ came, people saw that they could not keep the entire law and now understand that one is not under the law because of the work of Christ and the Christ's fulfillment of the law. We are now covered by his works. Galatians 3:24 tells us, "So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith." Romans 10:4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." And Romans 8:4, "In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." See, the really cool thing about this is Scripture is consistent. Both the new and the old, it tells about the law, it explains the law, explains why the law was given, and then it explains Christ and how it all goes together. Both new and the old match up. So Paul's point is that following the law of works for salvation, they're under a curse. Now, a curse, there are, the Bible talks a lot about curses. God cursed the earth. People put curses on people. It's a real thing. Now, one is not made righteous by keeping the law because God tells that the law does not save. It is by faith that one is saved. Now, this is a major doctrine that we need to hold on to, that Jesus Christ is the one who was perfect and kept the law, and his sacrifice saved us from eternal separation. And it gives resurrection life. This is the basis of the faith, is Jesus Christ paid for our sins. He took the cross. He was killed. He was buried. And he's alive. Do we believe that? If you do, does it show? Do you give yourself to God? I've been talking about living out your faith. How to live out your faith. See, we're no longer required to keep the law. However, God wants us to be obedient. And we are to represent Jesus in all that we do and all that we say. Now, I found three simple ways to live your faith in public. Is that easy to live your faith in public? Not all the time. Not all the time. Number one, be concerned about social issues and get involved with them. Now, this doesn't mean you're on the sidewalk outside of a Planned Parenthood holding up sign demanding for an end of abortion. Although, if you want to, I'm not going to stop you. And it might work if Jesus allows it to happen. It simply means that you need to get involved. Also, sharing videos on Facebook about sappy stories, things like that, or buying a t-shirt from a Christian t-shirt dealer doesn't count all the time. You can't just chalk that up into doing something. Although it does have an effect. I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm saying do more than just, well, I did my good deed today. I shared this video that I found. Do more. Do more. Volunteer in your community. Get involved with an after-school program for kids. And the only one I can think of is Awana. I don't know if there's any other programs out there. I'm not sure. But find a way to reach the youth of Winter. And when you're, if you're here at Awana, you can see God do wonderful things. He provides so much. It is amazing to see these kids that come in here and the leaders that come in here that get the opportunity to tell them about Jesus and who Jesus is. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of. Another thing is sponsor a child. Sponsor a child. See, do things that make you invest into people. It's also called part of discipleship. Invest your time into people. Number two, talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus like he's more important than your BFF, your best friend forever. Now, this doesn't always mean that you're going to be on the street corner again with a megaphone. Proclaiming the end is near, repent. Get right with the Lord or drive a Ford. Get sanctified or chicken fried. You can do it. I mean, if you're really called to do that, God bless you. But it means sincerely talking about Jesus. It means talking about Jesus like he's better than your best friend. We can talk about our friends all day long, right? How often do we talk about Jesus to those around us? So talk about church when people ask you, what are you doing Sunday mornings? Talk to your coworker about what you're working through in your Bible study or in the church service. Or whatever you can in a way that is you. Don't be somebody else. Talk about Jesus the way you know him, the way he has worked in your life. Make it personal. Last one is repent. But repent well. Now, this doesn't mean owning the faults of every Christian before you and every Christian in the area. It means owning yours. Own your failings. Fess up to it. Right the wrongs. If you have sinned against somebody, go to that person and ask them to forgive you. Along with that, fess up to it, seek forgiveness, and accept the consequences. See, we'd rather just run away, right? Well, I did it in secret, so it's not a big deal, right? Own up to it. Accept the consequences. Allow God to grow you more and more in Him. Next, Paul continues in his letter to the Galatians about the good news of faith and compares it to the law. He continues on by saying that the law is not of faith, but if someone decides they need to do it for faith, they will have to live by the law. Again, one cannot pick and choose on which part of the law to follow. They have to keep it all. However, one cannot keep it. The scriptures remind us of that very point. One cannot keep the law. We can keep bits and pieces if we want to. We can't keep the law. Leviticus 18:5 states, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If any person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." One was bound to it, and they still couldn't keep it. That is why God sent His Son, because Jesus could keep the law, and He did. It was Christ who saves us from the law and from being under the curse. See, the thing about the law is if you go back into it, and that is one thing I wish I could have done, is to study the law more and more in college, but they don't do that a lot at Moody. They focus on other things. Because there's a lot in there. See, it is Christ who saves us. Paul again quotes Scripture, Deuteronomy 21:23, and he says, "And his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hangman is cursed by God. You shall not defile the land that your Lord, your God, is giving you as an inheritance." Christ hung on a tree, a wooden cross. And it was referred to a tree in the book of Acts, that language, Acts 5:30. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. Acts 10:39, we are witness of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. See, people knew what that meant. They knew what it was. He took the curse and was hung on that cross. This innocent man, Jesus Christ, paid for our sins, became the curse. He kept the law in its entirety. He was under that, so we are no longer under that. His works cover us when we have Him. It is by faith in Him. Jesus became the curse, and get this, never sinning, and paid for our sins. That's why he had so much spare time on his hands. He didn't have to sacrifice for his sins. That freed his schedule up just a little bit more. Can you think about those sin offerings? Every time you sin, every time you intentionally sin, unintentionally sin, you had to pay for that. And some ranchers in here and farmers wouldn't have any more animals to sacrifice, any more grains to give. Now, Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, did all this so we could receive His Spirit through faith. We do not have to work for it. It gives freely to those who believe. Christ came from the line of the Jews. He was a blessing to the Jews first and Gentiles. I love that passage in Romans 1:16. To the Jews first and the Gentiles. He was thinking about us. He came from the line of the Jews and also thought of the Gentiles. By Jesus being obedient to the will of the Father, all nations are blessed, no matter who they are, Jews or Greeks. It is by faith that one is saved, not by works of the law. When one puts themselves under the restriction of the law, they lose sight of the person and the work of Jesus. So if you're concentrating on the law, you're like, Well, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I can't do this. I got to stay away from that. I got to do this. I got to cite this. I got to sacrifice this. I got to do this. You lose track of the purpose of Jesus. Paul knew the law. Paul was schooled on the law. He knew what it consisted of because why? He was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. Now, have you ever thought of what the law consisted of? The details in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. How many of you just tried to speed read through it? Oh, yeah. I'll admit it. I tried to speed read through it because it gets so much detail. It gets repetitive. Well, for this sin, you do this. By the way, don't do this. Don't forget to do the free will sacrifice. Don't forget to do the free will offerings. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Remember, stay away from yeast on this day. And this. There's a lot there. There's a lot there. Here it is. Here's the law. All 23 pages of the law. 613 laws that you'd have to keep. You can't pick and choose if you want to keep it. You've got to keep its entirety. That's what God said. Keep it in its entirety if you keep it. Now, we'll break the laws down into two categories. There are 248 positive mandates, and there are 365 negative ones. The Israelites were to remember them all. So do we want to go through all of them? Absolutely not. If that's the case, you can go through the first five books of the Bible and look at that in detail. So let's look at just a few things. Let's look at tithing. Tithing real quick. Exodus 23:19 says, "The best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." Deuteronomy 26, I'm going to go there real quick. Deuteronomy 26, 12 through 14. "When you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce in the third year, which is the year of the tithing, giving it to the Levites, the sojourners, the fatherless, the widows, so that they may eat within your towns and be filled." Other passages include Numbers 18, 21 to 28, all kinds of passages in Deuteronomy. When it's all said and finished, your yearly tithe would be 30% plus extra. Plus extra. And if you sinned, you'd have to give even more up. I can imagine I wouldn't have much left. I would be to the point where I'd have to sacrifice my own children. But God wouldn't like that. That's all I'd have left. But yeah, he doesn't really take pleasure in human sacrifice, so that'd be a bad thing. That'd be a sin. And then for farmers, Exodus 26:11 says, "But the seventh year you shall eat, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and whatever they leave, the beasts of the fields may eat. You shall also do with your vineyard and with your olive orchard." See, the field was yours, but during that 1 year, you couldn't touch it. You could not touch it. You left it to grow. You left it to provide for those who couldn't have land or those who were less fortunate than you. And then we can look at, not forget, Deuteronomy 24:19 through 20. And that is saying that if you left a row, you skipped it, you couldn't go back and get it. You had to leave it. And don't forget, you had to leave the edge of the field, right? How many leave the edge of the field anymore? Nobody, really. I've seen a few pieces standing here and there, but that's about it. And then the other ones, let's not forget the Passover. That's part of the law, isn't it? Passover was given. Deuteronomy 16:16 is where that's at. So for Passover, we have to travel to Jerusalem to go to the temple. The Levites have to sacrifice twice a day at the temple. Two problems. No Levites, no temple. How can we keep the entirety of the law? Now, that's just a few things of the 613 laws. We cannot keep the law, nor should we try. See, Christ kept the law. He kept it in its entirety, and he paid for our sins. See, God would only accept a perfect sacrifice. When we read through the Old Testament, that's what the Israelites had to find, was a perfect animal to sacrifice for forgiveness. That's what God provided. That is what we need to remember, is Christ paid for our sins. And don't forget his second coming, because he will come back. Let us never forget what Christ has done to free us from that. During his ministry, he focused on people, building relationships with them. We are to go and do the same. We are to go and make disciples. We are to love the Lord our God with all our being. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, Paul explains the law and faith and tells the people that the law never saves and it can't save. It was a curse that we are no longer under. Now, if you don't have Christ in your life, then you are under the curse. You are to live by the law. But Jesus took the curse so he could redeem us. One cannot receive saving faith or be righteous, but rather only a curse in following the law. However, Christ took the curse so the believer could be righteous. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for what you have done. Lord, you took the curse upon yourself. You lived out the law, and Lord, there's no way we could have. We thank you so much for the sacrifice that you provided, that you sacrificed your only Son, Jesus Christ, who could save us and redeem us. Nothing we could do because of our sinful nature. You bought us at a price, and we come before you and we say thank you for the work that you have done. And Lord, there are so many laws that we could not keep, and you still provided a way out for us by your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we come before you with a humble and thankful heart, and I say thank you for your work that you continue to do. And Lord, I pray for each one here as they continue to live out their faith. We're no longer under the law, so we have the freedom to reach people for the gospel. Help us to be sensitive to those around us. Help us to show people your love and who Jesus is to all those around us, not just the people we go to church with, but to everybody we come in contact with. Lord, I thank you that you empower us, you equip us for all that we need to do. Our strength is in you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I leave you today with Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. You are dismissed.